2 Samuel chapter number 3. I'm going to start in verse number 6. I'm going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture this morning. We have a great story in the Word of God. We're going to read this in its entirety as we begin in verse number 6. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 6. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ish-bosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren, to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee, to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her, to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go, return." And he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies." And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. And Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said to David, "I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all thine heart, all that thine heart desireth." And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, "Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came to thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him quite away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, to know all that thou doest." And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Syrah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, "I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread." So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and all the people that were with him, "Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, So do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can have in our hands this morning this wonderful word. Oh God, I pray that you would cause your word to go deep within our soul. Teach us valuable truth for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As you know, when Saul died, the kingdom was basically turned over to David. However, the man Abner, who was a mighty general, took Saul's son Ishbosheth and sought to bring the nation under the leadership of Saul's son. We find it was a foolish thing that he did, and through his actions, we find that there comes a time that there is a time of trouble between he and Ishbosheth because of the concubine we find here of Rizpah. And because of this particular issue, we find that Abner basically says to Ishbosheth, I'm going to turn this people over to David and go under his leadership. Ishbosheth was unhappy, but he could do nothing because Abner was the real force behind all of that. We find that after many years of warfare, Abner comes to David, basically in a peace-minded thing, and he reunites, brings treaty between all the peoples of Israel. Well, it all looked well. But then Joab came back to Hebron. Joab was the military leader of the armies of David. Joab, by the way, was really in many respects a ruthless man. He was a man that was well prone to fighting. And upon hearing this, he is infuriated. He's infuriated mostly because it was this man Abner who had killed his brother Asahel some time before when they were in battle. You might remember that story. His brother was chasing Abner. And as he was chasing, Abner did not turn to fight him. But finally, he took his spear and pushed it backwards and stuck it in the ground. And his brother fell upon that spear from the bad side, and it killed him. Well, we know that Joab knew of the feat and held it in contempt against this man Abner. And because of this grudge, we find that he is infuriated now as Abner has come to turn his forces over to David and to bring about a peace. He accuses of David of being ignorant. He accuses David of not having good sense and not being able to decipher what was taking place, and telling him that really Abner was not there to bring peace, but to discover how he might bring warfare against David. Well, we find that, of course, David disagrees with him, and Joab sends for Abner. And when Abner comes to the city of Hebron, we find that he takes him aside just outside of the city at the gate, and there we find that he kills Abner. And so we find that David then becomes very upset because of this, and he would like to punish him, but he quite simply does not know how. And really, quite frankly, he is more concerned at keeping the nation unified rather than there being more bloodshed and warfare. And so we find that he holds a funeral service to let all of Israel know that he was not akin to or a part of the slaying of Abner. He wants all the nation to understand that it was not he who did that, and it was something that Joab had done of his own making. And at that funeral service, we read a very short message that David gives. And it's that message this morning that I'd like for us to really look at, because I believe in this short message is a message for every child of God. As we look here in verse number 34, and verse 33 and verse 34. Let's read that again. It says, "And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And of course it says, "And all the people wept again over him." The message I would like to pull from these verses, and I hope try to implant in the hearts of each and every person here today, is in two parts. First, I'd like for us to notice from this message, you and I need to be vigilant. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Abner the general, Abner the one who had gone to many, many victorious meetings with other armies. Hear this man, David says, dies like a fool. Why does he die like a fool? Because in this instance, we find that Abner was not vigilant. Let me share a couple of verses with you from the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See that ye walk circumspectly. That means circum, all around, speckly, talking about our sight. And so we need to walk seeing everything round about us. We need to be vigilant. Far too often, we are like the old workhorse. I remember when my dad would put the harness on the workhorses and put the bridle on. And I would see this piece of leather, and I wondered, what is that for? And so one day I asked my dad, "What is that leather there?" And he said, "Those are blinders." I said, "Why do you put blinders on the horse? What's the purpose?" He said, "Well, they need to see to go forward." But a horse can be spooked very easily by something that is roundabout. And if they happen to see something flash on the side of the road or wherever they might be, they can spook and they can take off. And Q ought to be saying, "Amen, amen, I understand that." And on one occasion when I was a little boy, that very thing took place. And as my dad had gotten off of the wagon, he'd been out picking corn all day, he got off the wagon to go back to shut the gate for the final time and to lock it shut. And as he got off that wagon, something in the eyesight of those horses, not to the side but ahead of them, it scared them. And they bolted. And as they took off, of course, the wagon's behind them, it's full of corn, and they go down the road. I was about 3 years of age. I can remember this even to this day as I saw those horses come away from there, not knowing my dad wasn't on the wagon, but I knew they were running very hard. I was out in the middle of the driveway, and I was sitting there playing with I don't know what. I played in the dirt a lot as a kid. By the way, little kids today, they miss out on dirt. They really do. Some of you keep your kids far too clean. Anyways, they need to get dirty once in a while, amen? And I was out there getting dirty. And by the way, back in those days, you washed once a week whether you needed it or not, and I very seldom needed it, but Mom made sure I did anyways. And so there I was playing in the middle of that driveway, and those horses were coming. I never thought a thing about it. I'm a three-year-old boy, intent upon playing, saw the horses, didn't think a whole lot about it. And all of a sudden, they come around the road into the driveway, and my dad is back there scared to death because I am right where they're going to go. But do you know those horses? They went right around me. I can still remember that wagon passing by me about 2 feet from me, and they missed me. Went right over to the barn and stopped just like that and never even touched me. They can spook. We put blinders on because you didn't want that to happen most of the time. Too often, we as God's people walk around with blinders on. God says to walk circumspectly. We need to be aware of everything going on. We need to be aware because The devil is our adversary, and he is seeking whom he may devour. He wants to chew us up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 18 speaks of that. Listen to what he says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That is his intent. That is what he wants to do. So you and I need to be vigilant. We must remember that we are in enemy territory. We're in this kingdom that is not of God. It is, who's the prince of the power of the air? Who's the God of this world? Who is the one who is really over things today? It is the devil. Now, thank the Lord, one of these days, real soon, the trumpet's going to sound, and 7 years later, the Lord's going to come back, and He's going to take it all away from him. But right now, He has that kind of authority here. We are in enemy territory. We are in a great spiritual battle. Satan desires to eliminate you. He seeks to eliminate you, if not by death, other means. He would like to destroy you. He is called the destroyer. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Thank God he said this, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You and I today live in a very dangerous world. I'm not talking about those who are going around trying to blow us up. I'm not talking about those who are trying to this, that, or the other. I'm talking about the devil who's trying to destroy you and I who are his people, the people of God. He's seeking to destroy us. He will destroy us with death if possible. He will seek to destroy our testimony if possible. And we need to know how he works. As a roaring lion, he stalks about seeking whom he may devour. Let's think about that for a moment. Number one, that's all the devil can do is roar. Are you listening? But he will roar. You see, the devil cannot put his teeth in you unless God allows it. The only duel that really the devil has against you is the lie. That's all he has. And believe me, he is going to whisper them to you, but we must be vigilant to those lies. And the way we're vigilant to those lies is by knowing the truth. Why did Jesus say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Free of what? Free of his insults and his onslaught in your life. And how we need that. And so you and I, we must have a good grasp of the Word of God. And so He's after us. He seeks to devour us. He's like that roaring lion. That's all He really has. But He's stalking about. What's He looking for? He's looking for an easy time to get you. He's looking for an easy target. I used to watch some of the commentaries, and I'd watch on television those commentaries as lions would be hunting. And they might be after the wildebeest. They might be after some sort of a deer. But they were in this mode of watching them. And I thought, you know, if you're the king of the beasts, why don't you still grab one of them and chew them up? But there's a problem. Those other beasts that are very vigilant, those other beasts that are quick and fast, they have a defense system to get away from their adversary. And what are they looking for? They're looking for the weak and the sickly. They're looking for the one who's not paying attention. That's why we're to be vigilant. That we might what? Flee from him. Because he's seeking to devour us. We must be watchful. By the way, one of the times, and we look at it here with Abner, one of the times that we're often not vigilant is after we've had a victory. Abner had just come to be with David and to bring the forces together. I mean, it looks like a great time of bringing together the peoples. It looks like that Abner has done a tremendous feat for the whole nation of Israel. And no doubt he's walking on cloud nine in some respects. And so here's the general that he has opposed who's called him over, and he's just thinking, hey, everything is peace. Not remembering that he killed his brother not too many days hence. And he was not vigilant. You and I, we must be cautious at all times because we have an adversary that is seeking to destroy us. He would like to devour us. But I believe there's something else in the message that he has for us. As we look at the place that Abner came to, Abner had left, but he came back to the city of Hebron. Hebron was one of the cities of refuge. It was a place that the slayer was free from the avenger. In other words, if you had killed somebody, especially accidentally, you could flee to one of these cities. The avenger was probably somebody in the family that was appointed to go after him. Unlike in our day where we would appoint somebody from what we'd call government, it was a family member most likely, and they would be after him to what bring justice. They had the privilege, however, to flee to a city of refuge, and there they could stand trial. And there, if they were found to have committed this murder accidentally, it would be like our manslaughter charge. They would not be able to be killed by the manslayer, and they could remain in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Then they could be set free. Interesting scenario with all of that. But that was the place of refuge. And so here we find Abner in the city of refuge, come back to it. But where does Joab take him to? To the gate of the city. And quite frankly, just outside. I say to you this morning, there's another message here. One is we need to be what? Very cautious. But secondly, stay in the place of refuge. Stay in the place of refuge. Joab lured him to the gate. God has given to every New Testament believer what I would describe as three refuges. God has given to you and I three different things which are our refuge. One of those is the home. It is a refuge. It is a place of protection. Every father is to be a protector. That's his responsibility. He's to watch over that family. Not only to guard them from the adversaries of physical nature, but also of spiritual nature. Every father is to be a teacher in that home, guarding his children from those things that infiltrate. By the way, fathers, much of the infiltration doesn't come through your front door. It comes through your screen door that is luring your children away, called the TV screen. Yeah. And so we find we have some tremendous adversaries that are seeking to devour in the lives of our homes, but yet we have that as a refuge. Papa, he is that particular one who stands there as that one who is going to keep in safety. We also find there's another place of refuge. It's called the local church, where you and I come together, and as a congregated group of people, we are protectors one of another. We are those who seek to edify, to comfort, and yea, even to help us to look at those things that are wrong in our lives, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You and I have this place of refuge. There's also another place of refuge, and we might not consider that, but our government. Government is to be a refuge. The problem that we are beginning to discover is that government is becoming a tyrant. And we've allowed that to take place. But really, government has established by God to protect us from that which seeks to harm us. And that ought to be where it's at. I hesitate to talk about it a great deal, but you and I have a government that's forgotten its roots and what it ought to be doing for us. And that is where it's at. I could go on a couple things there, but you don't want to be bored or you don't want to get into that with me this morning. Aren't you glad of that? But we find that these are places of protection. They are that which has authority over our lives. And you and I ought to be thankful for those. Even greater than these institutions that God has given us as a place of refuge is the Institutor Himself. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him, we find safety. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that we can be free from the ravages of sin upon the soul. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord for that privilege. You and I have that. The Bible says, for in Adam all die, even as in Christ shall all be made alive. In Him we have refuge. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have triumph as a Christian. You can't do it by yourself. You can't beat up the devil in your flesh. You have no way to do it. Billy Sunday used to march back and forth across the pulpit and preach a powerful message. He would kneel down sometimes upon one knee and look down and say, if you come up and fight like a man. But the devil does not fight like a man. And you and I have not the power in our flesh to fight Him. And so you and I need Him. But thank God, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have triumph. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we can become that changed individual, that one in whom God can now work. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You and I have the privilege to allow the mind of Christ to direct us day after day, rather than to allow what the devil would have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me go back to something for a moment. The Bible says, Thy Word is truth. The Holy Spirit of God gave us the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. God is truth. His Word is truth. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. When we find in the Word of God in John 8:44, we find he's a murderer and he's the father of lies. They go hand in hand. The only way he can really do damage to you is through the lie. That's it. The truth is that you are in Jesus Christ. The truth is God will take care of you. But if somehow, through his lies, he can pull us out of that, he's got us. We thank God that we have the privilege to raise young people. They are heritage of the Lord. But there's something that strikes fear in parents, and that is when they get in those later teen years. Because we know that in those later teen years, they're now going from the place of dependence to independence. We raise them for that purpose. But we also know that at that particular spot in their life, there are a lot of lies that the devil likes to throw at them. And if they believe them, they can ruin their lives. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen young people who were raised up in Christian homes by moms and dads who wanted to go right, and yet they believe some of those lies. Thank the Lord, generally, when they've been in that kind of a situation, they come back. But you know what is sad? Oftentimes, it's after their children have been raised and not in the things of God, but in the ways of the world. He has a lie. And the lies believed by far too many of God's people. He's very deceptive with it. We need to be vigilant. We need to understand the truth of God. We say, but that looks so good and that feels so good. No, it's a matter, is it biblical? Is it that which God wants? Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Because He is seeking to devour you. And then understand, God has places of refuge for you. To get out of those places is to take yourself out of the protection that God has placed over you. The last couple of weeks, it seems like many, many mornings, as I've walked out of the house, it's been raining. My first trip out of the house, normally every morning, is to take my dog out so she can do her... She likes to look for rabbits, that's what she's doing. No, we take her out in the mornings. And there's something I always do when I take the dog out and it's raining. On my back porch is an old milk can. And I've had that there for years. It's about so tall, it makes a wonderful umbrella holder. And I have one of these great big umbrellas. And so I get out that umbrella and walk out with a dog. Sometimes I got to kind of put it down a little because she just wants to stand under it with me. She don't have an umbrella. And I think about this. The devil is throwing fiery darts just like the rain is coming down. And I need the protection of that umbrella to keep those drops from hitting me. God has given us an umbrella of protection in our homes, in our churches, in our government. We do understand today that there are places in this world that would like to annihilate the United States of America. And it's our armed forces that are keeping us safe. That's an umbrella of protection. And we thank God for those men and women. Time out. I get a little disgusted by congressmen that don't want to pay them, but they want to take all the fat paychecks. Time in. We have that. Our churches is a place of protection. One of my responsibilities as the shepherd of the church, we think of shepherd and sheep, is what? I must be a protector. There are things that I have to be vigilant over and to watch for and to seek to warn you of. And we have that as a place. We have our homes, as we've mentioned, I hope quite vehemently. God has placed those. They're like an umbrella. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our great protector of all. But when we step out from under that umbrella, we're going to find ourselves being pelted. I've seen people step out from the umbrella of the protection of their families. Oh, I know better. I can do it without you. I've seen people step out from under the umbrella of the protection of their local church and say the same thing. And sometimes we even are stupid enough to do that nationally. And you know the results that take place. You know the crumbling that takes place. Oh, we need not to die as a fool dieth. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Why? He didn't walk circumspectly. He did not keep vigilant. And he what? Did not stay in the city of refuge. He went outside the gate with Joab. He who had made a league with the king is now killed. You and I who make a league, our salvation pact, with the King of Kings. Listen, we can believe the lie of the devil of the Joabs. We can let our guards down and we'll be slain. We need to think of those truths. Father, today, work in our hearts. Lord, though we've preached primarily to Your people today, there may be some here without Christ. Lord, I pray that You would just work in our hearts. Oh God, today, make us vigilant, causing us to stay under those umbrellas of protection, to stay in You, and not to allow the mighty men of this world, the Joabs, to lure us. Oh God, work in each and every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.